Take a vacation from your bills, pay off credit cards, and save thousands of dollars after a simple phone call to Golden Oak Lending. Visit goldenoaklending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Ausperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., wealth management specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. You also heard the report in the news about the poor father who was deported. First of all, this guy is an MS-13 gang member. This was something Caroline Levitt addressed today at the White House press briefing, which, of course, I watched the entire thing. And I have lots of thoughts for you. Tomorrow's tariff day. The president is planning a big 4 p.m. address in the Rose Garden tomorrow, now that the weather's nice outside, to talk about all this. And there are last minute negotiations happening, as you can imagine. A big election in Wisconsin today. A Supreme Court justice seat, which everybody is viewing as a referendum on Trump. I'm not so sure. Wisconsin is a blue state. I think if the Republican wins, it would be a stretch, to be honest with you. I don't think this is if he loses. I don't think it's a referendum on Elon Musk, despite what the media is saying. I don't think it's a referendum on Trump. Wisconsin, let's not forget, is a state that has historically been blue. Trump does well in Wisconsin, but primarily does well because he appeals to the working class voters that have been completely abandoned by the Democrat Party. That doesn't necessarily translate, though. That said, I'm not saying that the Republicans are going to lose. I'm just simply saying that if it happens, I don't believe it's going to be the referendum on the Trump administration that everybody's making it out to be. I just don't see that. It's a court seat. It's different. It's a totally different scenario. But the media is trying to make it out to be that this is a rejection of Musk and Trump's policies. Scott Pressler's out there. He's working really, really hard trying to get the Republican elected. And we'll see how this goes. It's a nail biter of a race. The president spoke from the Oval Office yesterday, said that the woman running is a far left kook. Hopefully that message radiates, and hopefully that's the way it goes and the Republican winds up winning this seat. But the real issue with this race, though, is about redistricting. That's what it's really about. What it really comes down to is the Minnesota Supreme Court will be deciding the issue of redistricting. And that's what this entire race is about. So we'll talk more about that as the show goes on today. And we'll have lots of thoughts on who's involved in this, the players that are involved in this, and everything else. And the other race is Florida, which you heard about, which is also close. Much like that Pennsylvania district where the Senate seat went to a Democrat instead of a Republican, should not have happened. People caught off guard. They're not letting that happen in Florida. So hopefully that seat, which was the seat that Mike Waltz held, hopefully that seat stays in Republican hands. We'll hope. And we can keep our fingers crossed on that. And the other thing is that, you know, in watching the news here, Wisconsin. I might have said, yeah, Wisconsin. I think I said Wisconsin. But if I didn't, it's because I'm dyslexic and I'm flipping the W and the M upside down. But Wisconsin is where the Supreme Court race is. I don't know. It's been a day. It's only Tuesday, too. We're just getting started. Spartacus Booker and the Tears of Rage Band. This guy is a joke. You know, years ago, many, many years ago, Cory Booker ran for mayor of Newark. And he ran as this centrist Democrat. I mean, Newark is a Democrat town, right? You're not going to get elected if you're a Republican. But he ran as a very moderate to conservative Democrat. He ran on school choice. He ran on expanding charter schools. He ran on all this stuff. And he had to go against the machine of Sharp James and the entire Democrat machine in the city of Newark. And Republicans went down there and helped Cory Booker win. And he didn't win the first time because Sharp James beat him because it was corrupt. And that guy wound up going to prison and all these land deals that he was involved in. But eventually, Cory Booker became mayor of Newark. And then, like anything else, his eyes quickly shifted to national ambition. And all of the policies that he said he was going to implement went by the wayside as soon as he decided to run for the United States Senate so that he could win over the support of the teachers union. And the minute he decided he was going to run for president of the United States, that one time centrist mayor of Newark became one of the biggest grandstanders out there, coddling the teachers union, abandoning everything the guy once stood for, and in doing so became a caricature of who Cory Booker is. And this little tirade, and from his years of saying this is my Spartacus moment, and I had tears of rage, which has led me to coin the name Spartacus Count Grandstandulous Spartacus Booker and the Tears of Rage Band, for all of his grandstanding, he's at it again. With this marathon, 18 hours and counting, 25 hours and counting, however long it is now, I don't even know. Going on the Senate floor, getting all this attention for himself. He took to the podium last night at 7 o'clock like a child and still going as of right now. Still going as of right now, taking periodic breaks to take questions from his colleagues. And I think there's like 50,000 people watching him grandstand live on YouTube. So that's happening right now. And yeah, the record held by Strom Thurmond, but that was 24 hours and 18 minutes. That was 1957. He's getting close. He'll probably surpass it because he's got nothing else to do. I mean, really, what do you have to do if you're Cory Booker and you're a grandstanding senator? So nothing. You just grandstand. That's all you have to do. No, he'll beat Strom Thurmond's record, which will be in roughly 4 hours. He'll beat that record, 4.5 hours. There's also this truck crash in Boston that occurred with a rental truck that crashed and killed pedestrians. Now, they're giving an update on Fox News right now. Why don't we dip into this? I'm just curious if they've decided this was terrorism or not. Can we just take a quick listen to this for the moment? Okay, yeah, you just pot up Fox News for me. I just want to hear if this is actually something that they're saying could be.
Folks to know this area might be impacted for traffic for some time being, but we will try to get it back to normal as soon as possible. If anyone saw or observed anything that they'd like to be able to let us know about, if they could call our tip line, or more importantly, 617-343.
All right, we can jump out of it. They say it appears to be an accident. Thank you, Justin. It appears to be an accident. So there we go. An accident, and that's the case. All right, so let's begin, though, with a little bit of audio of Count Grandstandulous Spartacus Booker and the Tears of Rage Band live from the Senate floor. We'll have Senator Dave McCormick on. We'll ask him about this when he joins us a short time later. He's got a bill in for term limits. Thank God. Term limits is what we need. We need to have it. Has to be there 100%. We absolutely need term limits, and I cannot stress this enough. This has to be the case. We cannot continue down this road of these lifetime politicians. Let's cube cut number 12 here. Lifetime politicians who never stop and stay there forever and get rich and insider trading and everything else. It was never meant to be a job for life. You're meant to go there, serve a couple terms, and get back to doing whatever it is you were doing. If the president's term limited, there's no reason why Congress should not be term limited. And by the way, on this issue of Trump running for a third term, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson today came out and said, read the Constitution. It's very clear. There will be no third term for President Trump. All right. So like I told you, this was Donald Trump's way of trolling the media. It's not going to happen, but it doesn't matter, because if the president's term limited, then members of the House, members of the Senate, they should also be term limited as well. Here's Count Grand Sangelo Spartacus Booker, Cory Booker, cut number 12.
But what's happened in the last 71 days is a patent demonstration of a time where John Lewis's call to everyone has, I think, become more urgent and more pressing. And if I think it's a call for our country, I have to ask myself how I'm living these words. So tonight, I rise with the intention of getting in some good trouble. I rise with the intention of disrupting the normal business of the United States Senate for as long as I am physically able. I rise tonight because I believe sincerely that our country is in crisis. In just 71 days, the president of the United States has inflicted so much harm on Americans' safety, financial stability, the core foundations of our democracy, and even our aspirations as a people for, from our highest offices, a sense of common decency. These are not normal times in America, and they should not be treated as such.
Okay, these are not normal times, okay? And it's going on. I mean, this is the thing. Is he running for president in 2028? Yes. Yeah, of course he's running for president in 2028. This is exactly what this is about. Look, he and Phil Murphy don't like each other. I had news for you. He and his royal ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable, they don't like each other, and he's not going to give Murphy. And besides, Murphy is so unpopular right now in New Jersey. Everybody's facing these massive energy hikes starting in July. 20%, 25% if you're a business. Democrats are all pointing the fingers at him, and they should, because he and his snaggle teeth are the reason why, with his clean energy bill, his clean energy nonsense, which does not produce the energy that New Jersey needs. So he's done. I mean, he's going nowhere. He really is going nowhere. He's going to leave office as a very unpopular governor, and Republicans have a real shot of actually winning because he's so unpopular. The Democrats who are running for governor are all criticizing him, unlike running towards him. So Booker is absolutely running for president again. He's run before. Why not? This could be like his eighth time. I mean, why not? It took Biden 15 times to finally cheat and win. So why not Booker too? Oh, and speaking of that, today, major news out of the House Judiciary Committee, the Hunter Biden laptop, the whole story, the FBI put in a gag order on discussing the Hunter Biden laptop. When the story broke in the New York Post, there was an FBI analyst who was ready to talk about it, and the FBI put in a gag order. And they have kept all of this from Congress. Now there's a new FBI director, Kash Patel, and he has turned over all of the receipts to the House Judiciary Committee. And yes, the FBI, which was in possession of the Hunter Biden laptop, knew the contents of the Hunter Biden laptop. They instituted a gag order and would not allow anybody to discuss the Hunter Biden laptop, which would then, of course, be censored by social media. Ironically enough, today, as this comes out, Nina Jankowicz, the failed musical theater actress who is going to be the head of the disinformation board on Capitol Hill today, along with Matt Taibbi and others, talking about the censorship. What the FBI did with Facebook and Twitter back then was to tell them that this was Russian. Something Russian was coming, which then led to the social media companies deplatforming the story of the Hunter Biden laptop. The ultimate example of election interference of our lifetime, of what Joe Biden did, what they did for Joe Biden, covering up the corruption of not just Hunter Biden, but really Joe Biden, because that's what that laptop shows. Yeah, Hunter Biden's corrupt, but it's the corruption of Joe Biden, as they were trying to say that he was this kind old man hiding in the basement, keeping you safe from mean tweets and COVID. When the reality is, there's a lifetime politician who term limits would have gotten rid of decades ago, who wound up getting super rich, being in office, and then using his office as vice president to enrich himself with his portfolio on Ukraine, with his corrupt crackhead son going out there and doing his bidding, and then blackmailing the Ukrainian people with our tax dollars to fire the prosecutor looking into Burisma. But Cory Booker is going to run as many times as it takes, and this is what this is all about. Here's Cory Booker 15 hours into his pointless filibuster, and I don't even know what this is all about. Honestly, I really don't. I don't know what he's trying to stop. That's what I don't understand. I don't even know what he's attempting to block here. It's unclear what the point of this is, other than literally just grandstanding. It's just pure grandstanding. Cut 13.
So I'm recording this to post while I'm on the Senate floor.
Wow.
I know there's lots of platforms you can watch it if you want, but I wanted to say here that I'm on that floor and I'm going to be speaking about what Donald Trump is doing to our nation. And now with this tariff, we are going to see more reckless steps taken that are going to raise more prices for Americans and cost our economy even more. So many things that I'll be detailing in this speech. And so it's my plan to continue to go for as long as I possibly can. We saved healthcare last time, not because somehow our persuasive abilities as senators got John McCain to change his mind. It was the voice of citizens. I think we have the power. No, I know we have the power. I believe the power of the people is greater than the people in power. So I hope to use my voice to do what people are calling on me to do. And I hope I can inspire or engage or activate more people like you can to use their voice, because I know we can stop what's happening in our country.
Stop what exactly? What is this? What is this filibuster aiming to stop exactly with your Spartacus moment and your tears of rage? What is this filibuster aiming to stop? I'm trying to understand this. I really am. Is there a goal to this besides your grandstanding jackass? I'm just trying to understand this. Senator Dave McCormick will be with us at about 25 minutes after the hour, by the way. And then in 14 hours in, he started getting confused on the Senate floor, yielding the floor while retaining the floor, and then got a cameo appearance by Senator Chris Coons, who doesn't think you're smart enough to find Greenland on a map. Cut 14.
Friend, you are somebody that is a hero who folks don't know their name in the countries that you've affected with your strength on foreign policy. Dear God, my friend, I yield the floor for a question while retaining the floor.
I ask my friend.
I'm going to say that correctly. I yield for a question while retaining the floor. I do not yield the floor.
I ask my friend and colleague from New Jersey if he is familiar with Psalm 30, verse 5.
Look at his crazy eyes. Those bug eyes are about to like come out of his head. And it's the battle of the bald guys right there, Coons and Booker. Although Coons has that thing going on the sides there, that kind of like I work at Staples look going on. And Booker's not done with the grandstanding. And you notice how his voice goes up and down? Like there are times he sounds like a cheap like dollar suit preacher, and other times he sounds calm, and it's up and down and up and down. And Cory Booker going off on Trump in hour number 17 of the filibuster. Trump's been president since January 20th. It's April Fool's Day, but somehow by now everything was supposed to be done and fixed and magical, I guess. And so here we go. Cut 15.
He promised to lower your grocery prices. They're higher. He promised I'll be a better steward of the economy. It's worse than when inherited. Over and over, he's breaking promises and doing outrageous things.
Notice how his voice is getting
disappearing
higher.
Disappearing people off of American streets.
Disappearing people?
Violating fundamental principles of this document. Invoking the Alien Enemies Act from the 1700s that was last used to put Japanese Americans in internment camps. Do we see what's happening? How much is enough?
I wonder how high his voice can get until it cracks the glass of the Senate building is what I want to know. I'm curious. I want to know until like when exactly this happens, when it's just and glass shatters. That's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Also, one of his staff members arrested last night by Capitol Police for carrying a gun without a license. I'll give you details on that. But U.S. Senator Dave McCormick from the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, he wants term limits. Now's the time. Let's make it happen. He's joining me straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Amazing thing, though, about this grandstanding by Spartacus Booker and the Tears of Rage Man is that at one point he said, I am Spartacus. If you remember, this is my Spartacus moment. Do you know the Spartan is now considered racist and a sign of white privilege or some nonsense? There's a lawsuit out in Long Island about this. This school changed their mascot from, they had an Indian mascot, now they have a Spartan mascot, And then this guy he sued his NAACP guy because he said the Spartan represents white supremacy and slavery of indigenous peoples or something. I don't know. But all I know is that this is stupid. If you went to Sparta High School and you're a Sparta Spartan, if you went to Michigan State and you're a Spartan, stupid. It's just dumb. But this is, of course, where we are right now. I don't know what's a dumber story, actually. Is it the story that the Spartan mascot is racist, or is it the story of the four-year-old who's transphobic? I don't know. It's hard to say. It really is. It's hard to say. But I just know that either way, it's the dumbest times we're living in right now. Truly the dumbest times. But Booker is going to keep grandstanding, and he'll break the record. The record currently held is 24 hours and what is it, 18 minutes, Matt? Is that right? By Strom Thurmond?
Yeah.
24 hours and 18 minutes.
That was in 1957. He was filibustering the Civil Rights Act.
And Booker's going now for 20 hours, so he'll wind up, I mean, he'll definitely break it. There's no way he's not going to. He's just spewing more hot air. Just do me a favor. Just look up his YouTube page. We don't have to play it on our YouTube page necessarily, but just like, can you monitor it for me? And I just want to see if he's still going here. And yeah. Is the senator there? I see Senator Dave McCormick is ready. Let's welcome him to the show. The United States Senator for the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Dave McCormick. Senator, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How's the hot air in D.C.?
There's a lot of hot air in D.C. That's the one thing we got an abundance of. It's like deficit spending. There's plenty of it.
talking to you about term limits. This is music to my ears. I love this. You're going to make this happen.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear the question.
Term limits.
Oh yeah. Well, I don't know if I'm going to make it happen, but I'm going to try to lead the charge. I'm
good.
You know, as you know, during the campaign, I promised I'd term limit myself, and I'm going to term limit myself to 2 terms. And I also said I'd try to lead the charge in legislation. So later this week, I'll introduce legislation for term limits, and I think it's healthy. I think, I ran on shaking up Washington. I don't think you can shake up Washington if you stay here for 30 or 40 years. And we got too many people who have done that, and we need to have fresh blood. And the way to do that is to have term limits both in the House and the Senate, and that's what my legislation will propose.
And would it be just 2 terms, or how many terms exactly would you get?
I think for the Senate, it should probably be 2 terms. I don't think you need more than that. Somebody said to me, but that's when you're just starting to get seniority. I said, Jesus, only in Washington do you have to be there more than 12 years to be able to make a difference. And right. On the House side, I think it's probably about the same. The House is a little bit different in the sense that it takes a while to in the Senate or the House to ramp up to be able to be effective and get the expertise. So I'd be in favor of probably 5 or 6 terms in the House, which would be 10 to 12 years as well. So you have about the same on both sides. And, that's what our founders imagined. They never imagined there'd be people that would, at the age of 25 or 26, come to Washington and stay there for the next 40 or 50 years. And so these are supposed to be citizens that are contributing in other ways, in other forms of life, and then come to Washington to serve their country. That's what we need to get back to.
Yeah, no question about it. And, you know, this whole idea of you got to be there for 12 years to start ramping up or you know, a certain number of terms, that's because of the seniority system, because there's no term limits. If term limits happen, that goes away. You can start being effective on day number one because you don't have to worry
exactly.
about being in there for years and years and years and climbing the ranks.
Exactly. And the thing is that, this is the way in life. It's the way it is in business and anything. If you're in the same thing over and over again, you lose your freshness. You lose the ability to bring in new ideas. And if there's one thing that's for certain is we need new ideas. If I had a dollar for every time somebody said, well, that won't work, we can't do it that way. That's what happens, that kind of stale thinking when you have the same people doing the same thing over and over. And you know, we saw in this last campaign, and we see, I think most Americans would agree, that government is not working in the way that it needs to serve the needs of the people in our Commonwealth or the country. The way we're going to do that better is we're going to get fresh ideas, people from the private sector, people from the military, people from various forms of life to come into the government and do great things. And so part of this is creating room for that new idea, those new ideas, that fresh blood. And that's why I think term limits are so critical to the health of our democracy. I really believe it.
Senator Dave McCormick's with us right now. I agree with you 100%. And the question that I would have is, would you be able to run again? Is it like consecutive, or is it just two terms, you're done, and go back and do something else for the rest of your life? Could you take a break and run again? How do you see that going as you talk to your colleagues?
You know, well, I'm still talking to my colleagues. At this point, the legislation I'm proposing would be that would be the max you could serve. You could do, you know, you could do two terms contiguous, or you could do one and come back. And in the House, it would be the same. You know, maybe there's a chance if someone leaves and comes back, that's a possibility. So I wouldn't rule that out. But it's got to be fairly stark. It's got to be fairly dramatic. We got to change the system. And you know, listen, this isn't popular among some in the political class, because, you know, they've already been here more than 12 years. So this is not an easy lift. But, you know, the reason I wanted to take this on and take it on early is because I think that's what the new guy should do. You know, I think this is what bringing in new blood means, is they're going to propose things that are a little bit controversial and are willing to shake things up a bit.
I agree with you. I'm glad you're doing it. It needs to be done, and it's something that I think a lot of conservatives will support, absolutely. And yeah, you're going to get pushback, because people have found a way to make spent their entire lives there, get rich off the system, find ways to make the system work for them, and yeah, they don't want to see a change. So it'll be a battle, but you know, you're a fighter, you're a combat vet, so you're not afraid of that in any way, shape, or form.
I'm ready. You know the campaign I just got through. I'm not afraid to have a few arrows coming my way.
You ran against a guy who should have retired a long time ago. So, I mean, it's exactly the point, you know, of what you're saying. Let me ask you about the tariffs that are coming into place tomorrow. How are you feeling about this? How are the people that you're talking to feeling about this? Pennsylvania, what can we expect?
You know, I know the same thing you know about what to expect. I mean, the president's kind of laid out what his goal is. Of sort of leveling the playing field, making ensuring we have fair trade, we've been taken advantage of. I support that. I support that idea of reciprocity, and I hope the tariffs will be very targeted in a way where it's clear that the tariffs are targeted on places where it's not fair, so we can possibly get the other side to reduce its tariffs and create much more of an opportunity for U.S. businesses. But there's anxiety. That's the honest truth, Rich. I've talked to a number of CEOs. I think it's slowed down investment a bit, because they're waiting to see what the tariffs look like before they make their investment decision. So I think that anxiety is a bit of a drag on the economy for the moment. And President Trump knows that. He's acknowledged that. But what I continue to say is, listen, there is uncertainty around tariffs. There's no question about it. But we've got a lot of certainty about a lot of things that should give both consumers and business leaders confidence. We have certainty that we're going to have unbelievable deregulation, probably the most deregulation since Ronald Reagan took office in 1981. We're clear we're going to have energy dominance, which is going to lower the cost of energy for businesses and consumers. Huge deal. We're pretty certain we're going to have an extension of the Trump tax cuts, which is to say we're not going to adopt the Democrats' plan, which is to raise taxes on the middle class, which is what would happen if we didn't extend those tax cuts and make them permanent. And we already know, since President Trump took office, that we got something like $2 trillion of new investment that's been committed by Apple and Taiwan Semiconductor and so forth. So there's a lot of wind at our back in terms of the things that are certain. And then there's some real uncertainty about the tariffs. And, you know, when you're making a big shift to try to bring manufacturing jobs home, to try to create fairness, it's going to be a little bumpy, and I think that's what we'll work our way through in the coming weeks.
You have a bill dealing with fentanyl. It's obviously been a major crisis in Pennsylvania. It's something that, you know, Philadelphia, I mean, it's famous, the streets, the zombies, the tents, the homeless encampments that are going on in the city, places like Kensington. What can we expect on that in terms of cracking down on this and really going after the supply side of it? Because we know the demand side is there, but it's the supply side that we got to crack down on, right?
Yeah, well, a couple things on that. Yeah, this is one of a number of things we need to do. I introduced a bill to create a joint task force. One of the problems with the way we've attacked fentanyl is you've got all the different law enforcement, DEA, the FBI, the Border Patrol, all in their own own sort of chimneys. And we need to integrate them into a task force that's going to take this on as the life-threatening national security risk it is. So this legislation, which is co-sponsored, is a co-sponsored with Senator Fetterman. So this is a bipartisan bill to make sure that that coordination happens in a task force, appoint task force leaders, make sure there's the right focus, budget, accountability. And this is one of many things we need to do. The president has stopped 95% of the illegal entrants in the country. It's unbelievable. It makes me mad at Biden all over again for letting this horrible thing happen. The president's or Secretary Rubio, which I had encouraged him to do, has designated the cartels as terrorist groups, which allows us to take much more forceful action against them. So there is a lot we're doing on the demand side, and this bill is going to help it. And I just want to say, because we're talking to you and many of your listeners are from Philadelphia, there was a recent article that was saying McCormick's just talking about the supply side. There's a huge demand side. Yeah, there's a demand side. We got to deal with that too. We've got to make sure we have the right facilities to deal with addiction. We got to deal with the demand side. But the starting point is to stop these cartels from exploiting our people, our neighborhoods, our communities, and killing our kids. And it's a national security crisis that that this legislation will help to solve.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, we know where the problem starts. It starts in China. It goes to Mexico. The cartels put it together, and then they bring it across the border, and then they distribute it across the country. And we want to help people who are addicted to this, and we want to do everything we can to help them. Yes, but getting it off our streets is a big start in this. And also, the problem with it is it's not just people seeking fentanyl, which is a problem, but people who are seeking other drugs that wind up being laced with fentanyl, and then wind up dying when they
That's it, Rich.
Man,
we met with so many. Dean and I had a couple roundtables with fentanyl families. For my guest for the State of the Union, I brought Jim Ott, sheriff from Blair County, who has been a real fighter on fentanyl, who lost his son to fentanyl. And in most of the cases, these beautiful children died, and they didn't even know they were taking fentanyl. It was laced into marijuana. It was in some over-the-counter drug. And that's the way the drug rings and the cartels want it, because it's highly addictive and it's very cheap. So they lace it into other forms of drugs, and as part of the addiction challenge that I mentioned. So we got to stop it, and we're on the way to doing that.
Before I let you go, I wanted to ask you your opinion on two things. Number one is Doge. I think that the team did a great job the other day with their interview with Brett Baer on Fox News. I personally love this approach. I think we have to do this. We got to save our country here. It has to be done. Has to be done now. There's a lot of violence against Tesla owners. I mean, even in Pennsylvania, we had a story in Doylestown, Newtown, another person in Bucks County. I mean, people are losing their minds over this. But I heard very sober-minded business people talking about their approach to doing this, and it's rational, it's level-headed, and it's what needs to happen here.
Absolutely. I just met with I won't say who it was, but someone who's one of the biggest financial markets people in the country, who is buys a lot of the fixed income, and we talked about what's going on here and this debt we have, $34 trillion of debt, $1 trillion a year of interest payments, a $2 trillion deficit. We spend about $6 trillion and we take in about $4 trillion. It is unsustainable. It's like making $100,000 a year and spending $150,000 a year. You can't continue to do that and not go bankrupt. And our kids are never going to forgive us. Every president from Bill Clinton to and Al Gore to Barack Obama to Joe Biden to George Bush said, we're going to rein in this spending. We're going to get control of it. And they didn't. And what's happening with the Doge process, it's giving us a roadmap of how to rein in the bureaucracy and where we're spending money that's completely inconsistent with what most taxpayers would want to do. And the accountability now for implementing these cost reductions is in the cabinet. This isn't Elon Musk out on his own. This is working for the president to identify the opportunities and then for the cabinet members to make the reductions of cost. we've got to do it. We've got to rein in the bureaucracy. We've got to rein in the spending. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Elon Musk came up to the Hill and we had lunch with him, the Senate, the Republican senators did. And I said two things to him, which I'll say to you and your listeners. Number one, we've got to get the spending under control and the bureaucracy under control. But two suggestions. One, when you're moving this fast and making such big, bold moves, and Elon talked about this on the Brett Baer interview you mentioned, you're going to make mistakes. It's inevitable. So you have to have a process where the mistakes get corrected quickly. And that's what the DOGE process is trying to do. They're going to get better and better. But, for example, in Pennsylvania, the Department of Agriculture, DOGE efforts, they cut some experts on bird flu. We're in the middle of a bird flu epidemic, as you and I have discussed. We needed to, they needed to bring those folks back into the Department of Agriculture so they could deal with the problem, which they did. So you got to fix your mistakes quickly. And the second thing is we've got to reduce the federal workforce. We're going to have to eliminate hundreds of thousands of jobs. We should treat those people with respect and dignity. They were serving the common good. Most of them are patriots that were trying to do the right thing. They're going to make a transition, which they should make. It happens all the time in the private sector. But we should not think of them as anything other than good people trying to do the right thing. It doesn't serve anybody's purposes to mistreat the public workers that are leaving the federal payroll.
And last question for you, the activist judges. Obviously, it's been a big topic and, dealing with this, and they're trying to stop President Trump at every turn. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, listen, I don't think anyone could have watched the last couple of years and not think the courts have become highly politicized. And we see that time and again. We saw that in support of President Biden's agenda. We saw that in attacks that were made in the horrible number of indictments against President Trump. So we've got threaded throughout the judiciary some activist judges, and we're going to have to work our way through it by using the majority to appoint great judges. And I respected what President Trump said, which is he calls out when he thinks the judges are making highly political decisions, but he said he's going to appeal those decisions through the appeal process, which is what he's doing. And if you look at the track record since he's come into office, he's won a lot of cases, he's lost some cases, but he is going to push the judicial process to both define the parameters of executive authority, which we want a strong executive in the presidency, but the courts and the Congress will ultimately determine those parameters. And to push forward on an agenda, which is what the American people promised. So I got a lot of confidence President Trump's going to be in the offense there. And I think his support of the appeal process for reconciling differences with judges is absolutely the right way to go.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Follow the senator on X at Dave McCormick, PA, and check out the book that he co-wrote with his wife, Dina Powell McCormick, Who Believed in You? It's out today, right? Today's the official day?
That's it. It's about how mentors can change your life and the importance of mentors to help build great leaders that are going to change the direction of our country. It was a book we wrote during COVID when our kids were locked up with us, six daughters between us, and we realized that they weren't getting the mentorship that Dean and I had when we were kids, and those mentors had made all the difference for us. And so it's a book about a bunch of famous people we interviewed about who helped make them successful. But the book's not about those successful, famous people. It's about the people you've never heard of that helped them become who they are. It's Who Believed in You at whobelievedinyou.com.
All right, Senator, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it, my
friend. Thanks, Rich. Good to be with you.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back. I do want to tell you, though, about Emmons Roofing and Siding. They are the absolute best at what they do, and they're going to help you have an incredible home with 10% off inflation relief discount for each and every one of my listeners. That's 10% off on Anderson Windows, Doors, Siding, and yes, that new roof, which will have a lifetime warranty on it. Now, you may not need a new roof, and if you don't, Emmons will never say you do. But if you do need a new roof, they're the ones you want to go to, because they'll take great care of you every step of the way. They serve our whole region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. So reach out to them today. Get that work done. Your home will not only look better from the curb, it's going to be stronger, able to withstand the elements. And they even have a bathroom remodeling division. And yes, Emmons remodeled the bathroom in our old house, and they did did a fantastic job. My wife loved it. Happy wife, happy life. So what are you waiting for? Reach out to them today. Just go to emmonsroofing.com, E-M-M-O-N-S, emmonsroofing.com. Trust the name Emmons, just like I have for over 10 years, and take advantage of that 10% off inflation relief discount. Tell them I sent you, emmonsroofing.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Men, when was the last time you felt unstoppable? Low testosterone could be draining your energy, strength, and sex drive. At Beaumont Health and Wellness, we help men reclaim their power with hormone replacement therapy, weight loss, and IV hydration. Get peak performance with our $147 hormone replacement starter kit, including a private consultation, precision blood work, and a free B12 shot to fire up your system. Beaumont Health and Wellness. Age is just a number. Desire is forever. Call 913-261-9855 or book now at BeaumontHealthKS.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
House on Twitter, he asked me, McCormick's on the phone with you, can you ask about his vote on this? It was at 3:34 p.m. Unfortunately, when I have a guest on, I try not to get distracted, but I have enough distractions and I have the attention span of a gnat. So I try to focus on the guests and focus on the camera and try to listen. So I didn't see your tweet. He was asking me regarding Senator Rand Paul, who tweeted out the following. Just tried to put President Trump's DOGE foreign aid cuts into law. 27 Republicans voted to cut foreign aid, but 26 Republicans and all Democrats voted to keep funding foreign aid at Biden levels. I apologize. I did not get a chance to ask the senator that question. I will be happy to ask his office for what his statement is on the matter and share it with you. I try when I'm have a guest on to listen to what they're saying and pay attention because, like I said, major ADD. If I start checking Twitter in the middle of a comment with a guest, I'll wind up going down a rabbit hole looking at movie reviews or something, and before I know it, the guest will be like, "Are you still there?" But Justin, give me a little Spartacus Booker, Tears of Rage. Can you give me some Tears of Rage, please?
Your silence and your amnesia is complicity. I hurt. When Dick Durbin called me, I had tears of rage when I heard about this experience in that meeting. And for you not to feel that hurt and that pain and to dismiss some of the questions of my colleagues, that's unacceptable to me.
Count Grandstangela, Spartacus Booker and the Tears of Rage Band is his full band name. And this is he's performing the hits, playing the hits today. Trump's ruining America. It's one of his greatest hits. America will never be the same. One of his greatest hits. We're run by the dictatorship. People are disappearing on the streets. All the hits. Play the hits. Give me a little Spartacus. Let me hear a little Spartacus.
Yeah, let me go through the archive real quick. I didn't know you wanted that one. It was just
Okay. We'll grab the we'll get Spartacus as well because this is his Spartacus moment. But it's still going, and apparently this just happened during this nonsense. Booker said, "I confess that I've been imperfect. You have the audio here. Let's take a listen to what he just said on the floor of the U.S. Senate during his grandstanding filibuster. Filibustering of what? I have no idea, but go ahead.
Ineni. Behold, Lord, here I am. And so I confess that I have been imperfect. I confess that I've been inadequate to the moment. I confess that the Democratic Party has made terrible mistakes that have given lane to this demagogue. I confess we all must look in the mirror and say we will do better. And it's not just defining ourselves what we're against. We, the next generation, as the baby boomers are leaving the stage, the last baby boomer president, we have to say that we're going to redeem the dream. We're going to dream America anew. We're going to start talking about bold things that don't divide people, that unite people. Bold things that excite the moral imagination of a country to do better, to go higher, that call us together. This is the time where new leaders in our country must emerge. I'm not talking about senators. I'm talking about citizens.
Oh, wow. It's going to be a long night. It's going to be a long friggin' day. The crazy part about this, honestly, is that he's not even filibustering against anything of substance. Now, the White House clarified what is a lie by The Atlantic and other legacy media outlets today. And the lies by the legacy media outlets and The Atlantic is that this poor father was just picked up off the streets and he was deported. And it was a mistake by the Trump administration, and this could happen to anyone, and people are disappearing off the streets and blah, blah, blah. Now, the vice president, J.D. Vance, has been all over this, explaining who this scumbag is. It doesn't matter if the guy's a father. Look, there's serial killers who are fathers. Freaking prisons are full of parents. I don't understand why it is when it comes to an illegal immigrant, suddenly all of a sudden it's like, well, they're a mother, they're a father. Tell that to all the people in prison who have kids. There's no exemption. He's an axe murderer, but he's a father. Oh, there's literally a show on right now on Hulu called Happy Face. Dennis Quaid's in it. It's a really good movie. A really good show. I mean, he's a serial killer and his daughter has been trying to hide it her whole life. The daughter of a serial killer. It's based on a true story. But that's what the media does. They're like, oh, this poor father, this Maryland father was scooped up. That doesn't matter if he has kids or not. Some of the worst human beings on the planet were parents. Some of the worst human beings on the planet are parents, by the way. But that's beside the point. Caroline Leavitt addressed all that today. And as usual, in her fiery way that she did it, I love her too, because she is not afraid. She doesn't just goes right after these people and does not hold back. This is cut number two.
First of all, the error that you are referring to was a clerical error. It was an administrative error. The administration maintains the position that this individual who was deported to El Salvador and will not be returning to our country was a member of the brutal and vicious MS-13 gang. That is fact number one. Fact number two, we also have credible intelligence proving that this individual was involved in human trafficking. And fact number three, this individual was a member, actually a leader, of the brutal MS-13 gang, which this president has designated as a foreign terrorist organization. Fact number four is that foreign terrorists do not have legal protections in the United States of America anymore, and it is within the president's executive authority and power to deport these heinous individuals from American communities. It is a promise he campaigned on. It is a promise he is keeping, and every single person in this room should be grateful for that, considering especially MS-13 is very prevalent and prominent here in the District of Columbia, in Maryland, and in Virginia, and the president, the Attorney General, everyone who has been involved in these operations is focused on eradicating these criminals and terrorists from our communities.
I love it. He's a father, so that gives him some sort of a pass.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.